Namaste. This is Farah Nasrali, the producer of Drishti Point Yoga Podcasts. Drishti Point has been recording podcasts since 2006, and we have over 300 podcasts that we are currently uploading to this site and others. Please be sure to visit our website, drishtipoint.ca, for the top 100 podcasts. We hope this podcast will nourish your mind and open your heart. Namaste.
You're listening to Drishti Point. I'm your host, Sri Venu, the director of the Shivananda Yoga Vedanta Center in Vancouver. And you're listening to an interview with my good friend, great yoga master, Brijendra Bob Eaton, that I met and interviewed in India for you a month ago in Kulu, the Valley of the Gods in the Himalayas. Well, Brijendra, you also talk from experience, right?
Yeah.
And this meditation, you still practice, or I should say you're still in that state of meditation, of contact with the self, with yourself. And eventually you decided you would spend quite a bit of time in India, in Kulu, with Swami Sham to deepen your awareness, if I may say. So could you now talk about your experience in India? What has it brought you to actually move across oceans and continents and also be in the presence of the Guru for quite a few years now?
First of all, I came to India to be with Swamiji. I didn't realize I would spend as much time as I have. But in Swamiji's company, I am my highest self. So the self is one being, it's all permeating. It's permeating everything as the being of everything. So the self can be many levels of self, right? My hand is on my leg right now. So it's my hand, my leg. So my sense of self is hand and leg. Is that all I am? Hand and leg? No, I have a head. No, my back is against the chair. Then am I just my back? So self is there, but it gets mixed with something, what is being known. So the mixture of the self as the knower with the known is the illusion that takes place in the human consciousness. So when I came to India, I came here to sort this out. I was fully prepared to go back and work and do everything, because that was normal life as I grew up with regular working parents, and that was fine, but I was looking for something much deeper, and in Swamiji I found that. And in truth, in India I also find it, but I find it everywhere, you know, in Canada, Europe. So the truth is one everywhere, it's not divided. But India has a tradition, and it's thousands of years old, a yogic tradition, a Vedic tradition. Sanatan Dharma is the original truth, and my sense is it began here thousands of years ago. Nobody really knows. The scholars are making educated guesses, but even they're all at odds with each other over when it all began. But my sense is that India is the land of sages, and the Himalayas are where the rishis, the sages, the yogis, they came to do their sadhana. Sadhana is practice. So there's a tradition here. I think there's a kind of ongoing vibration here. Although these days one can say that India is developing, you know, at an enormous pace, economically, you know, socially, it's changing a lot. So that's all going on, but there's an underlying awareness in India. And for somebody coming from the West, it can appear chaotic. You know, you get off the plane and get in the taxi, careening through the streets, and people seem to be moving regardless of traffic rules. And, you know, it's cleaned up a lot, but when I first came, it was really like that. You had to deal with camels and elephants and cows all on the streets. So what I'm saying is that in the incredible diversity that is India, there is this underlying awareness, and Indians seem to be imbued with that. And the rishis and the saints and the yogis have done their sanyam on that, their one-pointedness on that. So they become vehicles for that higher awareness. And Swamiji, for me, is that. He's a vehicle of really what is my own highest awareness. But he's 100% one with it. And if I call myself a sadhak, somebody who is practicing, what that gives me is an opportunity to be in my own awareness through the medium of another person. And that's the phenomenon of guru. That's the real guru. He also teaches you things, right? As I said in the beginning, he taught me hatha yoga, pranayama, meditation technique. But really, it's to be in the presence of somebody whose consciousness has expanded beyond just the physical body into the awareness that was there before the physical body appeared. Because of that awareness, the physical body can know and speak and move. People are thinking that all that's going on because of the physical body, but it's because of the awareness. So in meditation, you come to realize this, that I did not begin when my body took birth. That is not my beginning. In fact, there is no beginning to me, the real me. So as I was saying earlier, that my eye sense can become attached to my leg and my hand and my back and my head, the various parts of the body, and then more subtly, more sukshma, it can be attached to the mind, my thinking, my thoughts, my culture, what I have been taught, what I have accumulated, my identities, my psyche. So I can become identified with all of that. But in meditation, all of that drops away, and you are left as you. That you has no beginning, no end. There's no birth to it, there's no death to it. There's birth to the body, there's a beginning to a mind and its sense of ideas and its who it is, where it was born, time and place. All of this the mind accumulates, but who was there to accumulate it? That's the one you tune into in meditation. And meditation is a process of becoming more established in that. Even as your body is working, your mind is working, right? I write, so you know, I'm writing, I'm editing, I'm doing all this stuff. So none of your faculties disappear, but it's just that you periodically go into the state of the meditation, and there you are just you alone, pure, one. And from that you come out refreshed, ready to do and act again. And after some time, you go back in again. So it's a process of going into the space of your inner being and coming out and acting in, out, in, out. You do that enough years, pretty soon there's no real in or out. It's one indivisibility, one indivisible being. So in India, with Swamiji, I have had the chance to cultivate that, to become imbued with that, to absorb it, in an ashram situation, and to realize that it can be done anywhere. So it's available to everybody, but one has to spend some time at it. Without that, it's not going to happen. So you can think about it, you can talk about it, you can read about it, you can write about it, you can discuss it, you can have seminars on it, right? But unless you actually spend time in your own being and investigate that which remains in Patanjali Yoga Darshan, the goal is Kevalya. Kevalya, one of the meanings, can be that which remains, that which is left over. So when everything has dissolved, disappeared, settled, what remains? It's not something else. It's not some absolute something else. It's me. That me is you, because you also say me. I say me. Everybody says me. It's one me. But on the level of the body, you're there, I'm here. So how can you then resolve that division? The only way to resolve the division is through meditation, where you are not there, I am not here, in meditation. Because my eyes are not open, my ears are not being used, my sense of touch is not being used. There are only five senses. So if I'm not using any of them, then I'm left with the mind. And then to become aware of the one who is watching the mind, because my mind thinks. It has thoughts, it has memories of my childhood, say, growing up in the restaurant with my mother cooking and everything, and my father working on the docks. So these are all memories, and they appear in my mind, but I am the one who is watching them. This is the essence of meditation, to tune in to the one who is watching, knowing. Because that one has always been there. It is always there. It's doing it in the myriad minds at once. It has no problem with time and space. So to be aware that that is one's true nature is a change of perspective as far as one's human sense goes, individuality. So this is what I have gotten from being with Swamiji in particular, in India in general, and in the whole world, in Canada too. I've meditated in the forests of Canada, on the beaches, in the States, even in England, Europe. So it's everywhere, because when your eyes are closed and you're in your own being, there is no place, there is no time. When your senses open up again, now you are in time and space again, and you will play that drama very well, very happily, because you are settled in yourself. All the problems are being created by people who are not settled in themselves. So all the struggle is coming from that, and people who are not settled in themselves are trying to solve the problems. But in the course of doing that, more problems are created. So for me, ultimately, the solution to world problems, it might sound Pollyanna-ish, but this is my stance. The solution to world problems is meditation, because that is the solution state. And from there, you bring it out here. So meditators don't create problems. In fact, when people sit with meditators, they become peaceful. So company becomes important in the course of sadhana practice. So be with good company. That is company that helps you to be in the awareness of your true nature. And then everything unfolds from that. So I chose to be here. In fact, that's not quite true, right? It happened that I am here. Right. I was brought here, but I'm perfectly willing to say, you know, I chose to be here. I did. And Swamiji's grace has been on me. And that grace is the nature of self-knowledge. That is the grace. It's not some magical thing happening, some magical emanation or something. It's self-knowledge, self-awareness. That is the grace. But a human being has to enter into an investigation and inquiry as to what is the self. That's essential to yoga sadhana. Patanjali yoga is all about that. Investigating what is the nature of the self. Is it my citta vrittis? Which means, is it my thought? Or is it the Nirod state? Nirod is the state where just the knower is shining. Now people are trying to control the thoughts to get to that state of the purity of the knower. Not necessary. Unnecessary struggle. So the Nirod state, the state of the stillness, of the self, it will be brought about by paying attention to the knower. With closed eyes, the attention is on the knower. I am knowing. Thoughts are coming, thoughts are going. I am knowing them. I know them when they come. I know them while they remain for some time. And when that thought dissolves, I am still knowing. Through this practice, you gain a sense of the continuity of the self and the changeability of the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings. And the whole world is changing. Everything is changing. In Patanjali, it's called Prakriti, or the gunas, the forces of change. They are just continuing on a gross level of the elements of the world, and on a subtle level of the thoughts and feelings, inner perceptions, but they're all changing. The one who is knowing them is not changing. But if you identify with the thoughts and feelings, it appears as if you are changing. So when the moonlight is reflecting in the agitated water on a lake, it appears as if the moonlight is agitated. But the moon is just shining, still perfect, sailing in the sky. So the self is like that. It's unaffected. Self is like space, like light. It takes shapes. The shapes in this room appear in space, but the space is not changed. So clouds appear in the sky, but the sky is not changed, the space. So the self is even subtler than the space, but it's like space in that it is not affected by things, and thoughts and feelings can be happening, no problem. You don't have to control them, just watch them. But know, I am the knower of these thoughts. I am the knower of these feelings. The emphasis is on the knower, not on the thoughts. It's on the knower, not on the feelings. It's on the knower. Then you become established in the knower. And everything goes on, but you're established in the knower. So this is what I have gotten from being with Swamiji and from India's tradition of yoga.
So you're listening to Drishti Point. I'm Srivenu. I'm your host today. And our guest is an old friend of mine, an old yogi, wise man, beautiful person, who's been living and studying and practicing yoga in the Himalayas for the last 35 years. Made him very blissful. So last month I interviewed him by this beautiful river at the foothills of the Himalayas, and here it is, Brijendra Bob Eaton.
So I will ask you this, Brijendra. Once you identify with the knower and not with the experiences that happen, once you are in the state of meditation, what does it bring you as a human being? Why would anybody want to do that? How does it feel?
For a human being, it brings a sense of no struggle, a sense of peace, a sense of freedom, of fulfillment, of love, of a sense of supporting so-called others. But the thing is that through meditation, you begin to realize they are not others. It is because people think they are others that they think they can do anything to them. Because I won't feel it, they will. Through meditation, you tune into the oneness of the being. So, you are my own self. All are my own self. This is not just a kind of theory, it's a vision. As a person can have the vision that, you know, across there is a mountain and down below is the running river. That's a vision of a world of rocks and trees and water and sun, fire, earth, water, space, the elements. It's a vision. But through meditation you get another vision. You get the vision of the Atma. called Atma Sakshatkar. That changes your entire attitude towards the world. You begin to want to sort of help the world. It's not that it's a separate world, it's your own being. You do not like your own being uncomfortable, so you try to help it. Yeah. Like your arm is holding up this microphone, I want to help
you. It's okay.
I'm feeling the...
That's my karma.
So this is the kind of transformation. It's a transformation from within. It's not that I'm studying qualities and I am trying to get those qualities. That would be from without, from outside of me. In meditation, it's a transformation from within your own self. So that self is free, it is pure, it is one and undivided. So to the degree that one meditates, which basically means to the degree that one attunes one's own awareness to that, from where your awareness is coming, then it becomes a pure flow through from the source. And the source is loving, the source is one, it is supportive. It wants the best for its own self. Everywhere. Everybody wants that, the best for themselves. The problem is they think they are only the body, that individual body, so they only want the best for their individual body. So they're accumulating the money for their individual body and their possessions for their individual body. But the yogi is not like that. The yogi is one who is yuj, yog. The unity is there. It's not a unity of joining. Many commentators have spoken about yoga in that way, that you join the individual sense to the Paramatma sense. That's not really the truth of it. If you delve into your own being and attend the knower, as I was describing before, then that knower ultimately is the Paramatma, is the Supreme Self. But to be attuned to that, you will have to pay attention to that. And the human system, by its nature, its default nature really, is to pay attention through the senses. Well, the senses don't see the Supreme Being. Right? My eyes see light, my ears hear sound. So it is the Supreme Being, but my eyes don't know that, and my ears don't know that. But the one who is opened within to the source, and that source is my own being, then that is the way the transformation works. So then I begin to take on the qualities of that self. And those, as I described before, are just full of love and freedom, love of freedom. So those who are attuned to that, they love freedom. And they want freedom for others. And they love love, they want love for others. But it's not to sort of take advantage of others. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the oneness. So there's no clinging, there's no rag dvesh, they say in yoga, which means no attachment and no aversion. Right? The two sides of that coin that is human beings are flip-flopping between. One moment I love you, the next moment I hate you. Right? So the human mind is like that. Maybe not next moment, maybe a few years. But it shifts. So yoga doesn't shift. The love is indivisible. It is not. There's a difference between attachment and love. Attachment is that I must have the thing and I am joined to it and I must have it. And if that comes apart, I fall apart. Love is that I am one with all and I support all because it's my own being. So it's freedom. It's of the nature of freedom, where freedom and love are the same thing. So this is the transformation. Before, I was not really in all that. I had a sense of it, I had a glimpse of it, an insight into it. I had been opened to it. But it takes a while to integrate all of this into one's being. And for that, a realized person or being, I call it, realized being, is necessary. And if you don't have a person around you like that, the realized being is in your own self. But you will have to discriminate between your mind and that being. Because otherwise, you're going to start walking around claiming, your mind is going to start walking around claiming, I am realized. Well, the statement is true, but it depends what you understand by I. Right? If you think I is only the body is not realized. If you think that I is the mind is not realized. Only the guru is realized, and that guru is the pure being itself. So that guru is realized, and you are that, I am that, we are all that. But who is doing the work, in a way, or the practice of the meditation, of the yoga sadhana, with all the support of the hatha yoga, pranayama, yam niyam, asana pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, ashtanga yoga, that who is doing it in order to become established in that being. So that one becomes established in it. So it's a practice that has to be done. You can start with 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes, it will grow. Because that the lure of that of your own being and the freedom of it, the bliss of it, will just draw you on and on and on. So it's drawn me on and on for decades. It's drawn you on and on for decades. You were meditating in the orchard and in Brownsburg in Quebec. So we were doing it then, we're doing it now. Right? We were aware then, we're aware now. But the issue is it has to be practiced, otherwise this world does not get the benefit of it. So the world is getting the benefit of that awareness through those who are doing the practice. And that brings about transformation of the world, not just of an individual. You may think at first you're working for your individual transformation, but that's the illusion of the individual I sense. If you as an individual or I as an individual become transformed, it is actually the world that is getting transformed. Because there's no division. There is no division. So it all starts to emanate through that practicing yogi, because a yogi is one who is in yoga. Right? He is yoga, which means he is oneness. Yoga means oneness. So the yogi is a living oneness being. So that influence extends out. So whoever wants to grow into that, you will be ready to help them. It will be natural. So anybody listening to this who practices and practices the awareness that I am the knower will grow into that yoga and will help their friends, family, everybody around them into the same freedom from struggle, freedom from stress, freedom from worry, agitation, and fear. Most of the problems are kind of variations on fear, and that the root of that is the fear of death. So when you realize that there actually is no death, there's the dissolving of the body and the elements of the body, there's even the dissolving of the mind, but not of you. And in fact, you're never afraid of it. You're not afraid to go to sleep. And your body's not there and your mind is not there. And you're perfectly refreshed and blissful. And when you come out of it, you're full of life to begin the next day. There's no problems for the self. There are problems for body, there are problems for mind, and that goes on. So the yogi is the one who requires discrimination. In yoga it's called viveka khyati, discrimination of the self from what the self has gotten mixed up with. And that sanyog or identification is what we have to deal with. I exist, but I gets identified with things. Like my eyesight exists, but if I put glasses on to enable my eyesight, after a few minutes I'm not aware that the glasses are on anymore. I equate the glasses with my eyesight. But the power of sight is not in the glasses. The glasses don't see. So I put on this body, I become accustomed to it. Pretty soon, I don't know I'm wearing the body. I think I am the body. I think my ability to know is due to my body. Right? But the glasses don't see, and actually this body does not know. It's the eye that knows. That is the knower, what I refer to as the knower through Guruji. And so that is the practice of meditation. So then it is not only happening when your eyes are closed, it will be happening all the time. But when your eyes are closed, that's your practice period. As if, you know, I used to play soccer, so we'd have practice periods. And then you'd be out on the pitch and you'd be playing the game. But your playing of the game was due to your practice periods. Yeah. So in meditation, you're practicing, and pretty soon there actually is no distinction between inside and outside. That is the creation of the human mind. So meditation transcends the human mind and brings joy and oneness into the world.
Rajendra, thank you for being so generous with your answers.
Well, you inspired me. So,
I mean,
it is, you inspired me. What can I say?
Well, I'm glad. You know, I mean, we're inspiring each other, definitely, because you also inspire me. And your answers and how you share this with me, knowing other people will listen to it, mm-hmm. I'm sure will inspire them as well.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yes.
You're listening to Drishti Point. So I'd like to wish you a very, very good evening tonight. But there'll be more. Don't worry. The 1st of July is coming at some point. So enjoy. I'm Sri Venu. Om Shanti.
Namaste. It's Far again. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to visit our website, drishtipoint.ca, for the best of the best Drishti Point podcasts. If you like this podcast and want to support our work, please consider becoming a Drishti Point member or making a donation of any amount to support the work we do to spread the light and love of yoga. We wish you health, happiness, prosperity, longevity, and vitality. Namaste.